You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me today.
Also want to welcome back to the air, we have Senior Loan Officer Adrian Clay Schulte. Welcome back, Adrian.
Thank you. Happy to be here, I guess I should say.
We're happy you're here, too.
Yep.
All right. So, you know, Tammy, I know you always are the person to kind of bring us back down to earth when we start talking about wanting to cover a topic that people may not really understand. So,
right. We're going to talk about automated underwriting.
Well, yeah, and just underwriting in general.
Right, underwriting in general, because it's kind of like hearing a guy's locker room between you and Adrian. I had no idea what the heck you guys were talking about.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, then the listener may not know what we're talking about.
So I guess what I wanted to start with to kind of understand, I mean, we go to you guys for a loan. We've gone to an agent to buy a house, but we go to you to help us get a loan. At this point, our loan, we have no idea what happens behind closed doors, and underwriting is one of the questions. I don't think a lot of people completely understand that role. Can you guys help us out with that one?
Adrian, you want to take that or you want me to?
Yeah, basically the underwriter is the individual that looks over all the information that the client has supplied to us.
Mm-hmm.
And they make sure that everything fits all the guidelines and rules, and they have the authority to actually sign off and approve your loan.
Okay.
They're the person that actually signs off on it and makes sure you get your home.
So they basically check all the information I filled out on my loan application and make sure it's accurate? Is that deeper? Is there more to it?
Well, that's definitely what they do. I mean, a loan processor is the stage kind of before that that helps gather all the information, and they're the pre-underwriter of sorts, meaning that if we know what's expected on the loan, then they try to put in the file every single thing that they think the underwriter is going to ask for.
Okay.
It's the job of the processor. But then the underwriter has to look at it and say, okay, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or FHA or VA have a certain guidelines that they require. Does this loan meet those guidelines?
Okay. Under the qualifications to make sure I qualify
right.
for whatever loan product you guys sold me on.
Absolutely.
Right, absolutely. Trying to figure out what the best product is for their needs. And sometimes it's a matter of determining what's the best deal for the client, and the other time it's a matter of what can they even get approved for.
Okay. All right. And so really and Adrian and I were kind of joking, but the underwriter is the Oz behind that curtain in
right.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, the person that everyone hears about but never gets to see.
Right.
Absolutely.
Only Dorothy.
Well, and over the years that process has changed where that's even
right.
Even and that's more true now.
What we were talking about is the topic automated underwriting. So technology has changed, things have changed. So over the 20 years, both of you have probably gone through a lot of changes. So explain what's happened now. Where are we now?
Okay, so in the past, an underwriter was a human.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, getting replaced.
They still
humans
are
getting
human.
Replaced in many. Well, in many places, humans are getting replaced.
Okay,
I just saw that McDonald's has new touchscreens at 8,000 of their locations where you can walk up and just touch in your order, and they've replaced the humans that have to sit there and take your order. Well, automated underwriting, what it is that instead of an underwriter making the final underwriting decision, the computer, once you put in a loan application, the computer analyzes all the risk factors. It analyzes a credit report, analyzes everything
all the
you
different
put
layers
in,
of risk.
Right, all the different layers of risk, and it spits out an answer to approve you or deny you. And if it approves you, it'll say approve eligible, meaning it's approved and it's eligible with the guidelines, okay? And then it will give a long list saying you're approved, but you need to provide these items.
Okay. Yeah, it's basically saying if you can prove what you put in the computer with documentation in black and white, then everything should go okay.
So there's still a human putting all the loan information in, still putting in the algorithm that goes with the spit out of yes, you're approved or denied.
Well, a human designed it,
okay,
to put in those different risk factors. They're the ones, but that's probably more computer programmers in tune with underwriters.
Okay.
And, they're the ones that design that. However, it's just the computer that gives that approval.
Okay.
Then, the next phase of that is the computer underwriting approval will give us a list of everything we need. We put all that stuff in the file. The processor gathers it all, gives it to the underwriter, and the underwriter has to actually check through that list to make sure it's all there. And frequently, let me give you an example. So, it'll say 2 months of bank statements
okay.
that it requires. And then the underwriter sees the 2 months of bank statements, and there are a bunch of large deposits that are not payroll deposits that we have to account for. Well, the automated underwriting system can't recognize that.
Okay.
It doesn't see the bank statements. So a human still has to look at those items and sign off
and
on
verify
them.
It.
Right. A human has to look at the appraisal and see, is this a good appraisal or not?
So then what is the advantage and why do I care as a consumer if there's automated underwriting or just a plain underwriter?
Well, they can speed up the process.
Okay.
From a purchase standpoint, you know, people out there listening right now might be thinking, well, how can somebody get the information, my Social Security number and all that information, my income information, and then 20 minutes later or an hour later or whatever, a couple hours later, get me a pre-approval?
Right.
Well, that's because of the automated underwriting system.
Okay.
So it definitely speeds up the process. We put all that information in, and as long as the loan officer knows the right questions to ask,
okay,
it's kind of like garbage in, garbage out. As long as you're putting the right information in, then you should get a correct answer back from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or FHA.
And I'll interject there just to say that that's one of the differences with Cornerstone Mortgage is that they're going to hire a level of professional employee that is going to put the right information in.
Mm-hmm.
So we do get the right answer out.
Right. So it's all part of the application process.
Okay.
It's like, okay, you tell me you work at Boeing, but do you work at Boeing through a temp agency or do you work for them full time, hired directly through them? Those are all the things that the automated underwriting system are not going
to be able to determine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So do all banks have this or?
Yes, every bank that does residential mortgages will have access to this. And
okay,
it's the same system, but there's a lot of intelligence when it comes to how to use the system or how to put things in to get the correct answer out.
Okay.
Or if you don't get the answer you want, are there any other options and directions you can turn?
Okay.
Becomes very important because there are different automated underwriting systems out there. And as an example, and in case you just joined us, you'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1, broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios. We're talking about automated underwriting process. So the different underwriting engines out there. So mm-hmm. Fannie Mae is called DU or Direct Desktop Underwriter.
Okay.
Freddie Mac has LP as Loan Prospector. We use all these acronyms for them. We also have USDA. We have GUS is a Guaranteed Underwriting System. And it's just the names they give to the underwriting system. So when we refer to them, DU, LP, GUS, it's just the names for these different systems.
So a consumer filling out a loan app would
they don't
never
know,
really
right?
know,
they don't know
any
that goes on
of this
behind the
stuff.
Scenes. They don't know, and they don't necessarily need to know, except that
that the processes have improved over the years.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because there are big differences between the systems. So like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are sister organizations where they typically should have almost identical guidelines,
mm-hmm.
but they don't. Right, Adrian? I mean, there's several things that can be
several
different
things.
From
right.
one to another.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you can have a difference between Fannie Mae's system and Freddie Mac's system when it comes to a self-employed borrower. Or you can have differences between Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae's system when it comes to one borrower already owns eight properties and they're wanting to buy their ninth property. One system might take it and the other
well, yeah,
system
because
won't.
And that's where the difference of having a loan officer that really understands those things without mm-hmm. even having to look up a lot of them. That, for instance, Fannie Mae will allow 5 to 10 finance properties where Freddie Mac will only allow 4.
Okay.
That's a big difference.
So let's get into that a little bit. Explain the differences between the different programs. You both have rattled off Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, those. So explain those a little bit and how those work.
All right. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are the two. Now, they used to be quasi-governmental agencies. Now they're actual governmental agencies once they were taken over and they're in conservatorship, and they still are in conservatorship. So they back the loans,
mm-hmm.
and they sell bonds on the open market, and that's when a lender like Cornerstone or any of the big lenders out there, when they fund a loan, the loan gets sold to an actual investor, and that's how it replenishes the funds for them to loan out
and
more money.
And that's Fannie Mae.
Right, and they may still service the loan, and that's what the consumer sees. The consumer
okay.
doesn't usually know if their investor is Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or who
they
it
wouldn't
is.
Know. Right.
Right, they don't typically know that, but right. that's how
right.
lenders
writing
get their funds replenished, and mm-hmm. it has to meet their guidelines to be able to sell to them. So with Fannie and Freddie, there are differences between them. So as an example, debt-to-income ratios. So basically when you take your total debts, including your house payment, and you divide it by your income, we call that the debt-to-income ratio. Well,
right.
Fannie Mae will only allow up to 45%, but Freddie Mac will go above that.
Okay.
So All we right. have to know that there's an option to turn to if you can't get an approval.
Right. Okay.
Adrian, what other differences do you see?
like the back to the self-employed borrower, Freddie Mac may only ask for the past 1 year of tax returns,
mm-hmm.
and in some cases, Fannie Mae will want 2 years history of tax returns for self-employed borrowers. Well, if a borrower had a not so great year in 2013, and then their business took off in 2014. We wouldn't have to average it using the Freddie Mac system over the last 2 years.
All right.
Right, absolutely. And another one would be a non-occupant co-borrower. So what that means is, say, if somebody wants to qualify, and it's usually a young person that...
Their dad or mom.
Yeah, their student loans may not allow them to qualify, so they have a co-signer, is what it's called, is like if you're buying a car. But if you're doing a mortgage, it's a non-occupant co-borrower.
Right.
And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac look at that differently.
Okay. And so what about FHA? Because that's a first-time home buyer program or not?
It's not just for first-time home buyers. Okay. It's common that first-time home buyers use it, but anybody can get an FHA loan. There are no income limits.
Okay.
And it will actually use Fannie Mae's underwriting engine. We run it through the desktop underwriter through Fannie Mae. And it's programmed when it's an FHA loan, it knows to look at it with a little bit different guidelines.
Okay.
And it will allow very high debt ratios. I mean, we'll get people approved with... over 50% of their,
56,
of their income going to debt.
Okay. Percent. Yep.
And so then that really will determine the rate, though, of those products. Is that fair to say or not?
No, the approval through those systems does not determine the rate.
The rate, okay.
The credit scores may determine the rate.
Okay.
The credit score, the amount of money they're putting down, FHA versus VA versus conventional, those are the factors.
Those are the, okay.
Right. So right.
That's a whole different ballgame. So I got to come to you guys anyway to make sure I am approved for a loan. And then once I do get approved, then it goes to underwriting?
Yes.
Actually, the next stop with your loan would be the processor.
Okay.
Excuse me. So as a loan officer, I help you come up with the plan. We come up with the plan together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I key all that information in the system, make sure it's all set up correctly. Then we turn it over to the processor. The processor helps gather all the documentation from the client and then make sure that he or she has what he or she thinks the underwriter is going to want and what the desktop underwriting findings have said, or loan prospector, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac guidelines. The processor puts all that stuff together and then turns it over to the underwriter.
And that's where it goes to automated underwriting.
Right.
Okay, very good. That helps a little bit. So, guys, are there any scenarios where the automated underwriting engines don't work?
Yes, definitely. And that's very important because you have to know where to turn. So, when does it not work? So if something reports incorrectly on credit, and you can't get it changed on the bureau level, but you have the supporting documentation to prove it, then you have to do what's called a manual underwrite. Okay, manual underwrite is this term we use to say it can't go through automated underwriting and any person has to actually get involved. A real human has to underwrite the loan.
Okay.
It's the old school method of how loans were approved in the past. Now it's actually fairly uncommon that happens, but we can do it. And another example would be short sales. Okay, when someone has a short sale, it will read the same way on a credit report as a foreclosure. Okay, so if you have a program like a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan and they have a short sale, then it's gonna make you subject to the same time frames as a foreclosure, which would take you much longer to get a loan, so you can go through a manual underwriting process to qualify sooner.
Right? And what about people that go through a divorce? Can that go under in automated or not?
Yes, it could go automated or manual.
Okay.
It just depends on
the circumstances.
On the circumstances. Everything is so circumstance-driven.
Because as like one example would be if you have an ex-spouse that per the divorce decree is supposed to be making payments, but they're not making it, and it's damaging your borrower's credit.
Mm-hmm.
Like a car. You're basically like a car payment or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That the court said that, for example, the wife is held harmless from this payment. The wife no longer has to make the payment.
But it's shown up on her credit.
But it's shown because it was a joint account when they bought the car.
Automated underwriting can't pick that up. So a human has to actually look at that.
So it sends a red flag, basically.
Right, absolutely. So to finish up here, really the question of why is this important? Okay, why is it this is important is that mortgages are really complicated. And if you don't deal with a true professional in the industry, then you may be at risk on your loan. So not all people in the mortgage business will dedicate themselves, like Adrian Clay Schulte that works with me, to really understanding the loan products and understanding how to protect you and your best interest and know that your loan's going to get approved and that you're actually going to close in your house on time, because it's a big deal if you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian, you've seen nightmares for people where we're trying to pick up the pieces from other companies.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody
we definitely
wasn't
get called from other companies, from realtors and financial planners and just different referral partners saying, hey, and divorce attorneys,
right,
saying, hey, these people are going through a divorce. They have to sell this home and get another one. And
or
it
two.
Wasn't, yeah, or two, right. Right. I guess not another one, another two homes.
Another two homes.
And they're working with a lender that just mm-hmm. messed everything up. Can you Got help it. Pick up the pieces?
All right.
Right. So if you're in that situation and you need mm-hmm. advice and you want to make sure that you're represented really well, you can call our office. You can ask for Adrian. You can ask for me. You can reach us at our office at 636-978-8180. Again, that's 636-978-8180. Call us and let us review your mortgage and make sure that you're going to be set up for success. So coming up, are student loans keeping you from qualifying for a mortgage? We'll be talking about the differences between programs that may allow you to qualify. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.